Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 28th. In the year of our Lord, 2019, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, my fellow Americans, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, absolutely brilliant. One of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. And a quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. You know we're live 6 days a week, right? Hard-hitting, 2 hours a day, talk radio, 6 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about the shutdown ends with no funding for the border wall. Many people are attacking Trump for this big time. I disagree. It's smart to get the government open. I know you could say, well, Sam, most of the government's a waste anyway. I understand. But Donald's taking a whipping over it because of the manipulation of the mainstream press, not because of the truth. Nevertheless, open the government, reduce constitutional expenditures, declare a crisis on the border. You got to get it done, Donald. You got to get it done yesterday. Do your State of the Union on the border. We'll talk about that later in the broadcast. Senator Rand Paul put forth what he calls the Government Shutdown Prevention Act, if we want to work on ways to not shut down the government. Nobody wins when we shut down the government, folks. Everybody wins when we fund the proper role of limited constitutional government, though. And Rand Paul's plan is brilliant. Government Shutdown Prevention Act. Keep the government open, but reduce 1% every quarter they don't get along and solve it. It's a great idea. I support it completely. We also talked about news the networks refused to use. Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. That was an incredible hour of just so much news. It's shocking how much news we cover on this broadcast. Second hour, we had on our guest, Mr. David A. Clark Jr., former sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's also spokesman for America First Action PAC. His goal is to get Donald Trump elected in 2020. He's a Trump surrogate. Just a phenomenal discussion we had, by the way. He says on his website, if you're looking for a compromise, you've come to the wrong place. AmericasSheriff.com is his website. And we talked about his incredible column, his article he wrote called Wanted, New Conservative Fighters, Sheriff David Clark. We need political, quote, street fighters, brawlers, to help President Donald Trump push back against the swamp, the deep state, never Trumpers on the right, and the Washington establishment. Anyway, it was a great, great discussion with David Clark Jr. And if you haven't heard that interview, it is available at Liberty Roundtable, LibertyRoundtable.com, second hour. Tremendous stuff. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, our buddy from CampaignForLiberty.org, got stuck in an elevator, sir.
Well, good morning, Sammy. It was quite the ordeal last Monday. The day the storms, the big, big storm hit the Wasatch Front, and snow everywhere, blinding snow covering the roadways. Not very many people went to work. Well, not as usual that day anyway. And so I thought you'd get a kick out of this story, Sam. After lunch, went to work as, got back to work as usual and hopped in the elevator to go up to the third floor where I worked in the building. And the power went out just 2 feet shy of the third floor, Sam. I didn't know it at the time. All I knew is the lights went out and the noise of the elevator ground to a halt, and the brake secured the cable so we didn't move up or down. And the little amber light came on, dimly illuminating the inside of the elevator. And so there I was, trying to reach somebody by my cell phone, but didn't have any service in there, couldn't text, couldn't call. But I was listening.
Hold on. Let me just stop you there. So then then Lowell Nelson forgets who he is and pulls a Kirk Crosby. Go ahead, sir.
This is so awesome. I was listening to a very interesting podcast at the time. Don't remember which one it was, but I decided, knowing that it's the middle of the day and the power would come back on momentarily or at any moment, I just thought I'd listen to the rest of my podcast. So I lay down on the floor to make myself comfortable and prop my head up against my black satchel that I carry around with me, and or my lunch, whichever it was. And so I just listened to my broadcast, minding my own business, waiting for the power to come back on. And the next thing I knew, I was being awakened. I had fallen asleep, and I was being awakened by a scratching on the outside of the elevator.
By the way, that's how you listen to podcasts, Kurt. You just lay right on down, pass right out. That's how you do it.
You get a lot of podcasts listened to that way, I tell you. So I said, hello, and a surprised voice came from without the elevator saying, are you in there? Is there someone in the elevator? So I said, yeah, I'm in here. And he says, well, push the call button, you know. And so I said, well, what's the call button? I didn't know much about elevators. But anyway, I pushed the call button. The call was connected, but they never answered to the call center. A couple minutes later, the fellow...
Yeah, that does a lot of good to have a call button in an elevator where nobody answers. That's kind of like Washington, D.C. There ain't nobody home, huh, sir?
So the fellow on the outside had wrestled open the elevator door far enough for me to step up a couple of feet and onto the third floor landing. I got to work, and the clock was almost 3 o'clock. So I'd been in there almost 2 hours, had a great nap, went back to work invigorated, and put in a good half day's work the rest of the day.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, it seems like in a government, we're kind of stuck in the elevator. You know, we got this infighting going on and partisan politics. You know, the founding fathers warned us against parties, and they didn't use this analogy, but they did kind of say we'd get stuck in an elevator with nowhere to go and nothing to do, didn't they?
Well, it's certainly an apt analogy for a lot of what's going on today, Sam.
All right. Kurt, you ever been stranded in an elevator? I never have.
I don't remember that, Sam, but I do think that Lowell, you know, used the time wisely.
Sleeping, yeah. He was doing two things. He was sleeping and listening to a podcast at the same time. He was doing what Kurt
does.
Kurt's famous for being able to fall asleep anywhere, folks. And I don't mean to abuse Kurt. I just mean to kind of joke about this. We literally went to the National Association of Broadcasters conventions and stuff like that. I'm telling you, it has got... over 100,000 people at this thing. So it's just teeming with noise and people and speakers. And I mean, it's great. And Kurt just lays down right in the middle of that sucker and falls right asleep, folks. Yeah. We like to tease Kurt about that. The other thing we like to tease Kurt about is, you know, he doesn't really like sugar, but we caught him eating donuts one time. So we're like, Kurt, what's up with this? And Kurt says, I'm doing research. Right, Kurt?
Well, the research I was doing is to evaluate the taste versus the taste when they make it with good ingredients.
Well, so did you have the good ingredients one side by side for the taste test?
No, I've had those all the time. And I just wanted to make sure I was getting closer and closer to the optimum taste.
Kurt doesn't see the comedy in this, ladies and gentlemen. But let me ask you a question. Have you perfected the good ingredients donuts yet so we can try those?
We're
still ongoing
so
research.
Close. Yeah.
Ongoing research. I get it. Okay. Kurt doesn't see the irony in this, but we have a good time. And we love Kurt, or else we wouldn't tease him, by the way. I just want to be very clear. And I, you know, Kurt teases me about the things that I do and stuff like that, where, you know, I just don't take health seriously. And I, you know, anyway. All right. Campaign for Liberty. They're involved in incredible activities everywhere. Lowell?
Well, I like to talk about this and highlight the fact that the Campaign for Liberty is everywhere. And it can be in your hometown if you get involved. I'm not one that promotes an organization that has a single, you know, point of failure, meaning a single central command where nobody does anything except by the command of the central figure, right? I mean, that's one way to wage a battle, but I much more prefer the guerrilla warfare of having numerous leaders in numerous communities and states around the nation who fight the battles, who decide strategically what battles to fight and which ones to win, where to throw the resources and what to do, right? I mean, that's individuals throughout the country making a difference in their own hometown or in their own school board or at their own service district level or in their own county and their own state. That's where, you know, Campaign for Liberty, that's one of the things that we like to do. We like to build people to fight. fight in all levels of government, whether it's local, county, state, or national. Now, obviously, Campaign for Liberty does have a national presence. We have fights that we fight every year, like Audit the Fed is another battle that will commence again this year. We fight against Obamacare. We fight against Medicaid expansion and a number of these activities. But the stories that inspire me the most are those that come from the little people like you and me, Sam, just out in their own communities, you know, fighting a fight and winning. I'm delighted to hear, you know, people in Iron County, Utah, you know, they basically take over their turf. They're the ones calling the shots in their city and in their community because they've won elections at the city council level, and they've won elections at the county commissioner level. They have people involved in the various school districts, and so they you know, the liberty-minded people are the ones calling the shots in Iron County. And that's not just one county in Utah. There's a group in Centerville called the Centerville Citizens for Freedom or for Citizen Interest or something. Anyway, these are the stories that are inspiring, Sam, and I just love to talk about them and bring up issues that people throughout the country can fight. Sam?
The whole point is people are doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. The mainstream press certainly won't tell you about it, so we have to. CampaignForLiberty.org. Get involved in your area, would you please? UCRP Central Committee meeting coming up. Quick update on that and more in seconds. Lowell Nelson, Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So the whole point is there's Campaign for Liberty efforts going on everywhere. CampaignForLiberty.org. I mean, people are doing great things. Like, I'm hoping Kirk Crosby is going to start a business. It's going to be the culmination of his research. It's going to be called Honey Buns. And he's going to give you incredible donuts made with honey, no sugar. So we're praying for that to come to fruition. In the meantime, though, Lowell's hanging out at a, what's this thing called, a UCRP Central Committee meeting?
The Utah County Republican Party Central Committee meeting, yep. Basically a group of roughly 500 people, half of whom attend these meetings, meet every quarter. And basically the first calendar quarter meeting of the year usually is devoted to questions that will be addressed by the Utah legislature. And so there were a number of Utah County legislators in attendance there. It's probably probably my favorite meeting of the whole year, considering all the various meetings that go on. And the reason it's interesting to me is because we kick around topics that will be addressed by the legislators in the upcoming legislative session. Now, this is not unusual to Utah. Most states throughout the union begin their legislative sessions in January. Some go 30 days, some go 45 days like Utah, some go 60, 90 days, some go year-round, and I really am glad that I don't live in a state where the state legislature is in session year-round. I like the fact that our legislators are volunteer legislators, not a full-time job, and they can go back to their own private businesses and employment and so forth after the session. This is always an interesting one, and I know we can't hit all of the topics here. In fact, not all of them would be interesting to our national audience, Sam, but there are some topics that probably are cropping up in your state, no matter where you live. And one of those is Medicaid expansion. Turns out that the people of Utah, by initiative petition this past year, passed a Medicaid expansion. And yet, it's a budget buster by 2021. So just in the next year or two, basically, it's going to bankrupt the state, that particular initiative that passed. And so we've got a number of legislators, and I fully expect, Sam, that during the session this time, the legislature will tweak that law that was passed by initiative such that the state would actually be able to fund the expansion that's desired by the people. One of the things that did not happen during the initiative petition process was that the cost of their proposal were not clearly stated in the petition. So people would sign that petition without any idea of what it was going to cost them. But it would be very helpful, Sam, if when you know somebody approaches you and say, hey, should the government provide this particular welfare service, and then you could say, well, how much does it cost? And say, well, it's going to cost you about $95 every year.
Well, a guy like me wouldn't even ask how much it costs. I would simply say, what is it? And I would use a couple of constitutional reality checks to determine if it's something we ought to do and that we have authority to do. And so I would start to ask myself, does it relate to thou shalt not steal? If it does, then I don't want to do it. If it takes money from one group and gives to another or redistributes wealth or thou shalt not steal, I don't want to do it. I don't have authority to do it, and I can't delegate that authority to government to do. The second question that I would ask is, can this apply to all people equally? Or does it give some special privilege at the expense of the many? And just take school, for example. Hey, if you don't have any school kids, if you don't have children, and or if your children are already raised, or you're a young couple without children, or you're single, see, hey, school doesn't benefit any of those people. Well, you'd say, oh, yeah, Sam, there's this general idea that education benefits everybody. I'm not buying it. It gives a few the benefit at the expense of the many, lol.
You're exactly right, Sam. Spot on. I totally agree with you. Absolutely. But as you've said in the past, we teach the ideal and we live in the real. And the current situation is that the people of Utah passed this Medicaid expansion, and it's going to kill the Utah's budget unless that law gets tweaked. And so there will be some tweaking occurring this year. Now, if you ask me, I would just throw the whole program away. Yeah, I don't want that Medicaid expansion. I don't want any Medicaid at all because it's a welfare scheme. It's socialism. It's transfer of wealth from one group to another. It socializes the cost and privatizes the benefits to a very local special interest group. So I'm with you 100% on that, Sam. The civil asset forfeiture is a very hot topic throughout the country now. The legislators there Saturday believe there will be a bill this year to tie asset forfeiture to a criminal conviction. And I view this as a very good
thing. And that's exactly what needs to be done, sir.
Yes, because today they can take your property without even an indictment being filed. They can steal your property and keep it, and you have to go prove the innocence of that property in order to get it back.
Yeah, and I don't even understand fundamentally how we ever got there, lol.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, it's a great revenue generator for law enforcement, Sam. That's why they like it so much, because it enables them to steal money without being received. Without being answerable to the people. Sad deal. And the next one is gender change on the birth certificate. This came up last year. Basically, the law that currently doesn't allow you to change your gender on your birth certificate. If you're born a boy, you stay a boy your whole life.
By the way, nor should it, sir.
Absolutely. You're totally 100% right. This is going to be a huge threat to our society.
Yeah, and Gary Herbert, the governor, has already caved on this, melted down, and said that he thinks it should be done.
Yeah, it's crazy, folks. And so please oppose and tell your legislators that you oppose this gender change legislation. Hate crime legislation.
By the way, just for those of you who are in the computer electronics business, they're also going to have to change every cord on the planet. Every cord has a connector on it, either a male or a female connector. They're going to have to figure that out, right?
good point, Sam. I got to bring that up with my legislator. I doubt he's heard that.
Well, think about how obvious it is and how pervasive it is and how reality. I'm telling you right now, if you can't use that for language, how are you going to ever know what end of a cord to use or to buy or to connect to? Or you'll never know. And this is the confusion that it's going to create in the world. Look, God created male and female. And I'm not here to offend or assault anybody. I am here to say those are the standards that my God has sent out a clarion call through Scripture regarding. And I'm not here to upend that. I'm here to say I understand, Lord, and I live by the principles that are codified in Scripture. And so we need to be very careful about this. But I'm just telling in a practical world, you just tell me what end is going to plug into what end and how that's all going to work. And when you get language that can square that away, then we can start to talk about it. Until then, you're just off on never, never land of craziness. You'll never, ever make any sense when you blur reality to that point, lol.
Not only that, God put that like in the opening chapters of the Bible. I mean, that's one of the first things he said was that he created man, male and female, created he them, right? And it's one of the most important things right up front. He set that straight from the very beginning. Hate crime legislation, there'll probably be more attempts to ram that down our throats, Sam.
See, and I reject hate crimes, too. I know they love to say this, but I don't know what a hate crime is. I've never known any crimes committed out of love, and I don't understand. What they're really trying to say is we're going to basically try to gauge your thoughts, your opinions, your beliefs, your, quote, motivations, and we're going to add to this crime, a greater penalty based on this understanding. I reject that and say, look, a crime is a crime. It's wrong. And there ought to be appropriate punishment or whatever prosecution for that. I agree. But when you start to get into thoughts in people's minds, it becomes a slippery slope that's very dangerous, sir.
Well, not only that, it becomes far more expensive because it's far more difficult to prove that, you know, what someone was thinking. It's easy to see the evidence of what a person did. It's difficult to find the evidence of what a person thought. And not only that would it be more expensive, but you're going to have more divisive language, behavior, or dialogue, I guess, going on between the groups that feel hated and the groups that are accused of hating.
Now, here's the problem that I have with everything that you guys are discussing in this meeting. Not a single one of these items are the proper role of government, sir.
So far, you're right, man. Absolutely right.
And I got a problem with that. Why are we wasting our time in this big, massive 500-people committee meeting, and we're discussing everything the government ought not do?
Exactly.
Okay, but it's absolute disaster on steroids. No wonder we're so off the rails.
Yeah, absolutely. So the border wall, they took a poll during the meeting, and they're about 79%, I believe, was the last figure. Almost 4 out of 5 people support and understand the need for and support a border wall and eliminating the incentives that attract illegal immigrants to this country.
So by the way, you know I've been talking about doing the State of the Union live from the border, right?
Yeah.
I was the one that came up with that idea. Well, it turns out Oath Keepers is running with it. They got a huge article promoting this idea, giving me credit for it up on oathkeepers.org. So we're gaining ground, sir, with real solutions. Quick pause. We'll come back. They're asking Lowell to take survey after survey. We'll drill into those in seconds. I'm telling you, it's fascinating what they're working on. Hold on.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The federal government shut down has hundreds of thousands of federal workers who've been working without getting paid or who are staying home during that partial shutdown are heading back to work today with pay, the longest shutdown in U.S. history, officially ending on Friday when President Trump signed a short-term funding measure, but he says if there's no deal on border security by February 15th, the government could shut down again. The man accused of a killing spree in Louisiana over the weekend is now under arrest, captured yesterday. 21-year-old Dakota Terrio is accused of killing three of Crystal DeYoung's relatives.
I lost my baby brother. I lost my niece and my nephew.
Terrio is accused of earlier killing his parents. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Record-breaking cold continues to affect the Midwest. People in and around Chicago especially warned, as forecasters say temperatures will drop well below zero beginning tomorrow night, and the wind chills could go as low as minus 55. The U.S. now delaying plans to return Central American migrants back to Mexico as they wait for their asylum cases to process. Here's the latest from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Mexico is willing to help the migrants find temporary jobs, according to the spokesman for the Mexican State Department, but they will only accept migrants who already have a date to appear in U.S. immigration court. That means this is going to be temporary, not permanent. This comes at a time when Mexico is handling thousands more migrants streaming into its southern border.
Remember to find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, legislative surveys. They're just, this survey stuff drives me nuts. Everybody wants to survey everything these days, lol.
Well, they do. This particular one, when it comes from your own state legislator, I decided to go ahead and answer it because if I don't answer it,
somebody will.
Somebody will.
And I don't blame you. I'm just saying, look, you know what? It's clear what constitutionally you're supposed to do in government. Okay, go spend your time studying the Constitution, studying the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, understanding the proper role of limited constitutional government. Don't run around with a big old survey and ask what socialism I want you to promote most. Okay, you're wasting my time. You've got an oath to the Constitution. Obey that sucker, would you please? You know what? When it comes to spending my money, I want you to spend less of it than you did yesterday. Or I want you to spend it more efficiently than you did yesterday. I want you to keep our nation secure. I want you to create a level playing field. Okay, these things are simple, and they're codified in documents everywhere. You don't need a big old ripping survey to decide which socialism or communism you're going to try to shove down my throat tomorrow. And the biggest problem I have with surveys is that 9 times out of 10, they're not even giving me a chance to answer the questions in the way that I think need to be answered. Anyway, it frustrates me. Sorry to go off on this, sir. But you took it, and good for you. And I say good for you because it's necessary. It's just frustrating, right?
It's an indication that your legislator is putting his finger up in the wind to see which way the wind is blowing. And that's a sign of a politician. We've often made the distinction here on this program between a statesman and a politician. A statesman is somebody who understands the Constitution, who understands the intent of the founders and those who ratified the Constitution. They understand the proper role of government, and they're not going to be swayed by public opinion, no matter how many surveys are taken or how many Dan Jones polls are done. They are going to vote with the Constitution every time, all the time, people like Ron Paul in Congress, people like Justin Amash, and others. So Thomas Massie. So these are the folks that will vote with the Constitution every time. These are statesmen. And but when we're dealing with politicians, you know, you know, please take the time, answer their surveys, because they are going to be persuaded by the number of people that answer their survey in this way or that.
Let me make one last point. Imagine giving your boss at work a survey. Boss, I need you to fill out this survey, sir. Excuse me? Wait a minute. Who works for who around here? See, it's backwards, sir.
It is upside down and backwards. But, for instance, the survey, it's very difficult to answer these things. And if you do only what the survey wants you to do, then you'll end up encouraging your legislator to do what's wrong. In other words, he asked me to rank 6 issues in importance from 1 to 6, 1 being the highest, 6 being the lowest in priority. Here's the 6 issues: economic development, education, transportation, air quality, health care, and Medicaid welfare. So you look at those 6, and I don't want any of them. I don't want any of them being given priority. And yet he wants me to rank them 1 to 6. So no matter what I do, Sam, he's going to have, you know, and he's going to think that I want him to actually do something about any one of those 6. I don't want him to do anything about any of them. I want him to throw them away.
Now, really quick, might I just quickly throw out a couple of ideas that I would want them to focus on? I would like to prioritize these in terms of which ones I want to shut down first.
There you go.
Okay, so it, the order of shutdown first would be education. I'd shut it down first.
Yep.
Economic development, I would shut down second. What was the other ones?
Medicaid, health care.
Okay, Medicaid and health care and air quality. Okay, air quality I'd get the government out of, although I will say there might be a little bit of a legitimacy to government having some kind of a, you know, in the courts, so you could have some kind of an understanding of, hey, if somebody's literally spewing toxins, there's got to be a way to have a redress of grievance to the rest of us when things are out of line. So there's a little bit of value there. Just like transportation, there's a little bit of value. I support roads so that the military can defend our nation and so that the mail can be distributed and a few constitutional things, but that's very limited in scope. So I would start with the education. I would start with what was the other one there? Oh,
the health care, Medicaid, and
education and economic development are the two that I'd shut down first. Government has no business involved in economic development except for having a level playing field and making sure contracts are honored. They should have nothing to do with it.
Let's take the next question. He said rank the following 4 issues with regard to the state budget. Now, I don't understand why he wants us to rank these 4 versus the previous 6, but his second question, he says rank these 4 things, and those 4 were transportation, public education, higher education, and Medicaid welfare. So with regard to the state budget, he wanted me to rank those 4 things. And so I have the same issue with them. What does he really want me to do? Well, he wants justification for his votes during the session so that he can vote for public education. He can vote for more spending in higher education.
But let me stop you there, though. Don't the Republicans know? It's been in their platform. They're going to shut down government education for like 50 years or something crazy. I mean, come on, what on earth is he even talking about? My response, sir, is obey your platform, shut up, and go keep your oath of office, my friend. And I don't mean to be belligerent, but I'm sick of this. There's no good answer here, Lowell.
Exactly right, man. And so in my response, I said, look, I put Medicaid welfare at the very bottom because I believe it deserves $0 from the taxpayer. I also believe public education and higher education deserve $0 from the government. So basically, I want him to throw away the very 3 that I put at the bottom on my list, basically education, and Medicaid. Transportation, one could argue, deserves some attention from government, so I put it at the top. But I still believe that there are many good private solutions to transportation. I don't think the government has to have a monopoly on transportation. So, yeah, those are the first 2 questions of this questionnaire, Sam.
And if these people aren't crazy enough, let's just throw beer into the mix.
That was the 3rd question. What should be alcohol content in the beer? Apparently, there's a limit right now that beer sold in stores can contain only 3.2% alcohol. Now, I'm not I don't follow this market, so I don't know, but they're considering a bill that would raise the legal alcohol content limit in beers to maybe 4% or 5%. So he's asking, should the legal limit in beers be raised? Are you yes, no, undecided, or something something other. How would you respond to that, Sam?
How would I respond to what? I don't mean to be weird, but I want you to phrase the question again on purpose.
Should the legal limit in beers be raised?
I don't think there should be a legal limit. So, no, I don't think it should be raised, or I don't think there should be a legal limit.
Well, that's the kind of approach I took. I don't think that I, you know, if I don't have the moral authority, Sam, to walk across the street to your house and stop you from drinking a beer that contains 5% alcohol as opposed to 3.2%, then, you know, if I don't have that authority, then neither does the government.
Well, and why do we say that whiskey can have a higher percent than beer? In other words, how do we become the drink police and determine that you know, one bubbly with barley in it and whatever and is different than another one with in the manufacturing or whatever you want to say, the brewing or the creation is different? And so, therefore, what are they talking about? I don't get how beer has to have a certain limit, but vodka or whatever that can have a ton. I don't even understand the discussion here. Right?
I don't know either. But so what do you do? What do you say to the people in the community who say, look, our community, we have standards. We don't want beer sold. We
don't. Then say, don't drink beer and encourage everyone around you not to drink beer.
That's right.
All right. And if you want to create your own, if you want to own some of the media and promote anti-beer advertisements and anti-alcohol advertisements, then by all means, you do that. I'll help you. And by the way, I put my money where my mouth is. We built a radio network with our own money and our own hands and our own sweat, blood, and tears, and we put anti-alcohol ads on it for free, by the way. So if you want proof that I'm doing what we're talking about, there you go.
There you go, Sam. Walking the walk, or walking the talk.
But I don't understand how we can determine that this drink that's colored different or whatever. I don't know what you, I don't even understand how you put your arms around which drink is which. Beer can be this, but wine can be that, and hard liquor can be that. And well, believe it or not, the only person in my opinion doing something valuable about this, in addition to me and others, are the few of us, is Donald Trump. Did you see what Donald Trump just did?
No, no. What did he do?
Do you know about this, Kurt?
Do I know about what President Trump just did?
In relation to alcohol, yes.
No.
No.
Oh, man. See, the mainstream press isn't bringing this to your attention like they should. Okay? President Donald Trump took his third quarter salary, $100,000, and he donated it. And he donated it to a group in government that is researching or you know, evaluating and analyzing and studying the negative effects of alcohol. You see, Donald Trump has a very serious interest in this. Donald doesn't drink, by the way. But Donald's brother was an alcoholic and died. And so Donald has a very big interest in you know, this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not necessarily for government doing all the research on this. But I am for literally, honestly looking at this. And if Donald wants to put his own funds, $100,000, to this cause and take no money for his work in government, I got to commend him. This is the kind of stuff that we can do in the private sector to move the needle on your neighbors not wanting alcohol promoted and everything else. Get the government completely out of it, sir.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, and there was a lot of money raised for building a wall, just like in the past 2-3 weeks, right?
Yes, sir. So my headline says, like a boss, President Donald Trump donates 2018 third quarter salary, $100,000 to the National Institute on alcohol abuse and alcoholism. Good for the president. Quick pause, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, Sam Bushman, that's myself, yours truly, owner of Liberty News Radio, promotes anti-alcohol commercials on the radio for free. Good nonprofit organizations create these commercials for free. And like a boss, President Donald J. Trump donates his 2018 third quarter salary, $100,000, to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Donald doesn't drink, but he has an interest in this because his brother died, as far as I understand, from alcoholism, his older brother. And so Donald knows not to drink. And I think we can spread that message with the good hearts of good people everywhere. And we don't need government in the middle of it. Lowell?
You got my approval on that one, Sam. Totally agree.
All right. Anything else from these surveys? We got to wrap this up. You got so many awesome topics today.
The one question I want to ask you, Sam, is just the tax reform question. As you know, anybody who sells a product charges a sales tax on that sale and then remits to the governor, you know, I think it's a 5% tax basically on anything that's sold, any product that's sold. But then there's talk about requiring service-based businesses to collect and remit sales taxes. Isn't that happening today? I'm not in that sector.
Yeah, I think it is happening today, but what I think is happening is most people don't realize it and don't do it. So what they're going to do is just amp up the prosecution and amp up the demand and the requirement and the penalty of perjury for not whatever. And so I think it's there in the books, but it's not really commonly understood and done. I don't think most people do it. You're right. It's an issue. But again, we need lower taxes. If they're going to go ahead and add more to that tax, I'm fine with that. But they got to lower the tax so that it's not more money to government. And the problem is they keep begging and pushing and forcing more money to government and less money for my family. And it's got to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good point. Yeah.
So if you want to add that to that and figure out what the number is and come back and say now it's going to be a 4% tax on everything, I'm fine with it. I don't care. But you've got to be revenue neutral on this, or less revenue to government, not more, or else I'll oppose every bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it were revenue neutral and they broadened the tax base by taxing the service-based businesses, then you're thinking that would be better than the current situation?
Well, at least it'd be clear what's happening. I like transparency and clarity. And right now, when you and I don't know, and we're both business people, Kurt, do you have an answer? Do you know?
Do I have an answer to what, Sam? Tell me again.
To Lowell's question, which is services, are they taxed right now in Utah or not?
Which services? Any services?
Any
service-based business. You know, if you provide a service, not a product, I mean, it's not like buying a... a grocery.
But they don't break it down, sir, is the point. We don't know the answer to your question, Kurt, when you say which services. They don't
and
say.
It just seems like everything's taxed, but maybe there's something.
But you don't know the answer either, do you, Kurt?
No.
And I'm not trying to be difficult. My point is nobody knows the answer to this, and this is just the point that I'm getting at. I don't mind transparency and clarity about what's going on. And if that's a broadening of that and a lowering overall, then fine. But it needs to be very clear. And three people that are in their own businesses, and look, I own my own businesses, so does Kurt. We don't know the answer. And I do consulting now, but I don't charge tax on the consulting piece. I charge per hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I give a company a W-9 or a 1099 or, you know, depending on the details, to the best of my ability. Hey, I'm trying to comply. I'm not trying to be a rogue agent and hate everybody and not pay my part. But I don't have any idea.
Yeah, interesting.
So, anyway, there you go. And I support transparency and clarity is what I support.
Yeah, perfect. Well, good. I guess we can move on.
All right, so let's talk about the audit of the Fed. You got Rand Paul and Thomas Massie doing a phenomenal job, sir.
Again and again, Sam, it's so rewarding, heartwarming to know these guys are up there doing good. Thomas Massie introduced the House version of audit of the Fed, which is H.R. 24, and Senator Rand Paul introduced the audit of the Fed bill in the Senate, which I believe is 148, Senate Bill 148. They're both there now, and so it's kind of been fun over the past few weeks, Sam, because President Trump has been criticizing Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, criticizing what he's doing, and so it's brought a lot more attention to this.
Yes, and I appreciate the complaining about him, but at some point I need Donald to take off the gloves and start to take action, not just run around and complain.
Which is what Chairman Ron Paul is suggesting.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's saying, look, if President Trump would fire Powell, then he would once and for all dispel the myth that the Federal Reserve is free from political interference. Now, part of Ron Paul's column prior to this point was talking about how the Federal Reserve is influenced by politics. Everybody, you know, who defends the Federal Reserve disclaims that. They say, oh, we can't have a Federal Reserve being influenced by politics, when in reality, it is very much influenced by politics. And it carries water for the president in most cases over the past, you know, 3, 4, 5 decades. That's what the Federal Reserve has done. You want to get the president reelected, you loosen rates or you tighten rates or whatever so that it looks good for him, so the economy is just smoothing right along. But if you don't like the president, then, you know, you want to develop monetary policy, which puts him in a bad light, which puts people out of work. It hurts the wallet, so the people won't vote for the current president again. So I really believe that if the powers that want to undermine President Trump really wanted to undermine him, they would do so with monetary policy, because that hurts everybody. So anyway, we don't want the Fed, but the first step in getting rid of the Fed is to audit the Fed, because we want to know all of the nefarious stuff it's involved with, where it's putting our money, and the detrimental effects of inflation that the Fed causes by its controlling the rate. I mean, if you look at the free market, if you're truly an advocate of the free market, then you should advocate for the dissolution of the Fed, because right now the Fed sets interest rates, and that is a market signal. That market signal should be set by the free market, not by the Fed. And that would be one of the biggest steps we could take in this country, is to eliminate the Fed and let the market set interest rates on money. That would be awesome.
Honest money, ladies and gentlemen, is where honesty starts, if you ask my humble opinion, when it comes to the proper role of limited constitutional government. After all, it is the supreme law of the land. Let's be clear. We just want to obey the law, that's all. All right, we got to talk about this. We're running out of time here, and there's just so many good topics Lowell has. We need to maybe work on moving Scott Bradley to a different day and giving them both 2 hours. They're just so good. But we need to urge the Senate not to confirm for Attorney General, or any position for that matter, William Barr. The guy's a nutcase, Lowell.
Well, and to know more about William Barr, I think Chuck Baldwin has the most informative article. And I noticed, Sam, that you posted this on Liberty Roundtable.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about William Barr. The guy's absolutely out of control, belligerent, nutcase. He's dangerous to the Republic. William Barr, according to Chuck Baldwin, is the swamp creature's swamp creature. He is the personification of all of the evil and wickedness that has gone on in Washington, D.C. for the last 30 years. Amen to that reality check.
And then he lists all of the things that Barr's been involved with, from being a CIA operative to working closely with George H.W. Bush, who led the CIA for a while, in a number of nefarious activities, the Bay of Pigs, the Vietnam War, the Golden Triangle, narcotics, the Nixon foreign policy, Watergate. I mean, just affair after affair after affair, this William Barr has been involved with the people that, are involved in these nefarious activities. And so he lists these probably a dozen things that Barr has been involved with. And then he also mentions Barr being a co-conspirator in the murders and the cover-up, the murders of Vicki and Sammy Weaver at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and in the subsequent cover-up of the people who murdered those two. And so William Barr, plus, let me mention this, too. He he doesn't like the Fourth Amendment. He's been a big supporter of the Patriot Act, which lowered the standard for spying on Americans. He's a big fan of the red flag laws that are being considered now, not only in our nation's capital, but in many, many states around the country. He's a gun grabber. He wants to work with Dianne Feinstein of California to implement these red flag laws around the country. So there is, in fact, he said that these red flag laws, he said, quote, are the single most important thing we can do in the gun control area, end of quote. So my whole point in bringing this up is not necessarily to rehash all of his crimes, because I know we've talked about him before, his crimes meaning crimes against the liberty of the people here in the country, but to encourage you to contact your senators not to confirm William Barr as our next attorney general. If you will do that, please take a note to do that. Call your senators today and insist that they vote not to confirm William Barr as the attorney general. That would be most helpful, Sam.
Amen to that. You know, Bill Barr is a serious problem, and I don't understand. I don't know if Donald's doing this on purpose or if he doesn't know better. But every time he puts another swamp monster in place that almost seems worse than the one we had before, when it's out of control.
Yeah, Chuck Baldwin isn't convinced that he wants to get rid of the swamp anymore, Sam. So,
well, I pray Chuck Baldwin's right or wrong, but I fear that he's right. There you go. And whether it's intentional or not, it doesn't matter. The result's the same. The swamp continues, and we got to pray for a draining of the swamp and a return to honesty in all that we do. After all, honesty is the issue. Finally, before we let you fly, we need to mention this. We need to get out of these unconstitutional wars everywhere.
And speaking in particular about the one in Afghanistan, we have Eric Margulies, maybe. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. But Scott Horton believes that Eric Margulies is probably the best informed journalist on the war in Afghanistan. And that's coming from a person, Scott Horton, who authored a book on Afghanistan called Fool's Errand, you know, getting us out of Afghanistan. Well, it turns out that Eric summarized summarized the war in Afghanistan, why we went there and why we're still there. And basically, the bottom line, Sam, he asked this question: why is the U.S. still at war in Afghanistan after 18 years? He answers this question this way. He says, first, because the politicians and generals involved won't accept responsibility for a defeat. They won't accept its huge cost. There's nothing more wasteful than a lost war. Secondly, he says, imperial-minded circles want to keep bases in Afghanistan to menace China, Iran, and Pakistan. There are huge profits to be made, Sam. There's that word, profit, meaning dollar signs. There's huge profits to be made from this endless war with its $400 per gallon gasoline trucked in from Karachi and the 24-hour on-call air support. So there you get a sense. I'm ending my quote from Eric's article here. But there, Sam, you get a sense for the reason why this war has continued so many, many years, Sam, because there's so much money to be made from it. Sam, that is the key reason. There's so much money to be made from it. He continues here, to keep this useless war against lightly armed Pashtun tribesmen going, the U.S. must bribe Pakistan to maintain the military supply routes into that isolated nation. Sam, it's a racket, and that's why we're still there.
And government seems to be focused on all the wrong issues, ladies and gentlemen. What it's going to take to right the ship is to have good, honest Americans not abandon the ship. We need to vote. We need to educate ourselves. We need to stand up and be counted. We need to stand for the Constitution. We need to stand for the proper role of limited government. We need to reject their ideas or suggestions of racism and anti-government and all this baloney. We need to stand together for the sacred cause of liberty, and we need to educate and educate, educate, because that's the peaceful, restorative solution we have at our fingertips. And then we need to insist on those who represent us have the same education we have or find somebody who will. Lol, 10 seconds.
Let's get out of these wars. Let's leave. Let's just come home, Sam.
This nation shall endure.